Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. This week, we continue our look back at 2012 in movies and music by spotlighting music from this year's science fiction and fantasy films. Now, there were plenty of offerings from both genres this year, and we're certainly not going to have time to touch on everything 2012 had to offer in just an hour. However, there are plenty of highlights to get to, so let's dig in. We begin by going back to one of the most significant box office bombs of the year. John Carter, starring Taylor Kitsch as the hero created by Edgar Rice Burroughs. The movie was mocked by many upon its release, and it certainly represented a step down for director Andrew Stanton after the greatness of his animated features Finding Nemo and WALL-E. Even so, the film is nowhere near as bad as its reputation suggests. In fact, it's actually a rousing, entertaining, old-fashioned fantasy adventure which occasionally captures the sort of earnest exhilaration of the Star Wars movies. Stanton's composer of choice for this outing was Michael Giacchino, who works hard to infuse his action-packed score with a sense of wonder and awe. It's another fine effort from one of Hollywood's most reliable composers. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
piece from John Carter written by Michael Giacchino called The Prize is Barsoom. Next up, while the cheerful John Carter bombed at the box office, the grim, violent, post-apocalyptic thriller The Hunger Games surpassed all expectations. Crowds were, well, hungry for the big-screen adaptation of Suzanne Collins' popular novel, and the movie did a respectable job of bringing some difficult material to the screen in palatable fashion. While there's a large part of me that wishes the film had been more squirm-inducing and that it had really captured the horror of the situation the film's protagonist finds herself in, it's still a solid effort with quite a few notable virtues. One of those virtues is the score, a surprisingly understated effort by James Newton Howard, which is more interested in underscoring the weary emotions of the tale than juicing up the action. Originally, Danny Elfman had been attached to score the film, but for unknown reasons, he departed. It all worked out in the end, as Howard turned in one of his more impressive efforts of recent years. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That's music from The Hunger Games, penned by James Newton Howard. The 2010 feature Clash of the Titans was a drab, dreary slog of an action film which no one really liked, but that didn't stop the folks at Warner Brothers from going back for another round. Wrath of the Titans was just as poorly received, though there was definitely a noteworthy improvement in the musical department. While the first film received a grungy, insufferable score by Ramin Djawadi, the sequel turned to Spanish composer Javier Navarrete, who came to fame a few years earlier with his gorgeous music for Guillermo del Toro's film Pan's Labyrinth. Navarrete didn't seem like an obvious choice for the movie, but he demonstrates that he can write big, boisterous action music with the best of them. At long last, it feels like the Greek gods of old have musical accompaniment worthy of their reputation. Take a listen.
Thank you.
That's music from Wrath of the Titans, written by Javier Navarrete. The most popular film of 2012 was unquestionably The Avengers, the superhero spectacle Marvel had been building towards since the release of Iron Man in 2007. It was an ambitious undertaking, meshing together characters from multiple franchises and tossing them all into a single epic adventure. It could have easily been one of the year's biggest messes, but director Joss Whedon managed to transform this behemoth of a movie into a funny, invigorating crowd-pleaser. The question of who would score the film was an interesting one, as the previous Marvel movies had rather different musical identities. John Debney and Ramin Djawadi had scored the Iron Man flicks, Patrick Doyle had scored Thor, and Craig Armstrong had written music for The Incredible Hulk. However, the job ultimately went to Captain America composer Alan Silvestri. As such, the score occasionally referenced the theme Silvestri had written for Captain America, but the themes written for the other characters were dropped entirely, save for an AC/DC song which essentially serves as Iron Man's anthem. Rather than attempting to provide new motifs for every single character, Silvestri mostly accentuates the team as a whole, and the intergalactic threat they're facing. It's a smart and well-constructed score which grows more rewarding with repeat listens. Check it out. That's music from The Avengers, written by Alan Silvestri. I wasn't particularly excited about Snow White and the Huntsman, as the whole let's take a classic fairy tale and make it really gritty routine has gotten old rather quickly. Even so, the film proved to be a surprisingly satisfying experience, highlighted by strong performances from Chris Hemsworth and Charlize Theron, some truly lyrical passages which stand out amidst all the darkness, engaging action sequences, and spectacular production design. James Newton Howard's score is yet another asset, as it's yet another score from the composer, which is more interested in the delicate moments the tale offers than in the thunderous action sequences. I was particularly fond of this introspective piece, which employs the vocals of Ioana Gika. Enjoy.
Dark the stars and dark the moon. Hush the night and the morning loon. Tell the horses and beat on your drum. Gone their master, gone their son. Dark the oceans, dark the sky. Hush the whales and the ocean tide. Tell the salt marsh
and beat on your drum. Dark to light and light to dark. Three black carriages, three white cars. What brings us together is what pulls us apart. Gone, our brother. The whales and the ocean tide. Tell the salt marsh and beat on your drum. Gone their master, gone their son.
Understated music from Snow White and the Huntsman, written by James Newton Howard. The most hotly debated film of this past summer was undoubtedly Ridley Scott's Prometheus, a prequel to Alien, which was more interested in exploring philosophical subjects than in recreating the terror the franchise is known for. I'm certainly on the supporting side of that argument, as I found the film to be one of the richest and most thought-provoking blockbusters I've seen in recent times. It's imperfect, yes, but its strengths easily outshine its weaknesses. Still, it does seem somewhat lacking in the musical department. While Alien had a brilliant score by composer Jerry Goldsmith, Prometheus has a merely serviceable one by composer Mark Streitenfeld. There are some superb moments in the score, but intriguingly enough, most of those are actually written by Harry Gregson-Williams, who had previously done great work for Ridley Scott on Kingdom of Heaven. Let's take a listen to some of the finer musical moments from Prometheus. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music from the science fiction and fantasy films of the past year. We continue now with The Amazing Spider-Man, which initially looked like the most unnecessary film of the year. However, it proved a substantial improvement on Sam Raimi's take on Peter Parker's origin story, sporting strong performances, thrilling action sequences, surprisingly involving romance, and some nifty new twist on the character's mythology. The film held its own next to the likes of The Avengers and The Dark Knight Rises. The most surprising element of the movie was the score, penned by the esteemed James Horner. While Horner is certainly a high-profile name in the world of film music, he doesn't get handed too many modern blockbusters due to the old-fashioned nature of his writing style. As such, it was a treat to hear him write a traditionally orchestral score for this sort of thing. It's very much the kind of music this movie might have received if it had been made 25 years earlier. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
fine music from James Horner written for The Amazing Spider-Man. There were a handful of presidential biopics released in 2012, but the level of quality and historical accuracy fluctuated a great deal. There was Steven Spielberg's much-acclaimed Lincoln, featuring a powerful central performance by Daniel Day-Lewis. There was Roger Michell's mediocre Hyde Park on Hudson, featuring Bill Murray as Franklin D. Roosevelt. And there was also Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, which offered a detailed portrait of our 16th president's dedication to ridding the world of supernatural terror. While John Williams' score for Lincoln played up the nobility and dignity of the character, Henry Jackman's score for Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter plays up the violent yet nonetheless noble work of action-packed vampire killing. It's hardly a musical masterpiece, but it's fun stuff. Let's take a listen. Music by Henry Jackman, written for Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. One movie which turned out to be every bit as unnecessary as it looked like it would be was Len Wiseman's remake of Total Recall. A drab, dull reimagining of a short story by Philip K. Dick, the remake proved as joyless and bland as Paul Verhoeven's version was inventive and energetic. The cast seems tired, and the production design merely rips off a host of better movies. The music is by Harry Gregson Williams, and it's predictably energetic stuff, incorporating elements of techno and dubstep along the way. It's vastly less interesting than Jerry Goldsmith's music for the previous cinematic version of the story, but it has its moments, and we'll take a listen to some of those now.
We'll be right back.
music by Harry Gregson-Williams, written for Total Recall. For my money, the year's best science fiction film was Looper, directed by Rian Johnson. It's a film loaded with fun time travel ideas, but it never lets its endless array of nifty concepts get in the way of its touching, complex, character-driven story. Sporting a typically exceptional leading performance from Joseph Gordon-Levitt and also boasting Bruce Willis's best performance in years, the film was yet another reminder that Rian Johnson is one of the most interesting young directors working today. The score was provided by his cousin, Nathan Johnson, who blends some abrasive atmospheric material built on captured industrial sounds with achingly melodic material. That approach works tremendously well within the film. At the very least, it's one of the year's most inventive scores. Enjoy. That's music from Looper, written by Nathan Johnson. Though I see literally hundreds of movies each year, there are still plenty of things which I somehow manage to avoid checking out. One of those is the Twilight franchise. I have yet to see a single entry in that series, so I'm not exactly qualified to judge whether or not they're deserving of the love and hate they receive. However, I have followed the music of the series with great interest, and the scores seem to grow more interesting with each new installment. The first Twilight film was scored by Carter Burwell, the second by Alexander Desplat, and the third by Howard Shore. All of these efforts have had their merits, but Carter Burwell's return to the series for the two-part finale Breaking Dawn has arguably been the highlight of the musical journey Twilight has taken. There's a lot of surprisingly soulful, engaging stuff to be heard on the soundtrack for Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, and we'll close out today's program with a sampling of material from that effort. We'll continue our journey through the movies and music of 2012 on next week's program. In the meantime, have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.